Hello, Detective Fitch. I want to play a game. The tide of justice is rising around you. In 90 seconds, the water will rise to the height of the copper wires. And if you are still in the tank, you will be electrocuted.
Welcome back to the Haddonfield Horrors Podcast, where we review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Tawan.
I'm Maria.
And today we are reviewing Spiral from the Book of Saw, released in 2021, directed by Darren Lynn Bousman and written by Josh Stolberg and Peter Goldfinger. Maria, can you give the people your answer?
Working in the shadow of his father, Detective Zeke Banks and his rookie partner take charge of an investigation into grisly murders that are eerily reminiscent of the city's gruesome past. Unwittingly entrapped in a deepening mystery, Zeke finds himself at the center of the killer's morbid game.
So, Spiral, it's not a spinoff. Well, it's technically a spinoff. Would you guys say spinoff?
I guess, because it is like, it just takes place in the same universe type of deal.
Is it the same city?
That, I don't think so, but also, we don't even know what city they were ever in.
We never knew that, but it's like, they talk about John Kramer, they're aware of John Kramer, they know what the spiral means, so but either way, like, this movie, it's weird because it felt the same, but it also felt different. And it was very, very urban, but in a good way. But it had a completely different feel. Like, I think it took more of its stylistic cues from Jigsaw and less from Saw. So,
I don't think so.
It wasn't. You don't think so?
Not really.
I'm talking about the way it looked, because, you know.
Yeah, it looks more like the other Saw, well, not like fully.
Yeah, because like with those first seven Saw movies all feel like dirty and grimy, and like you might get a tetanus shot, you might get tetanus, and then you have Jigsaw, which felt like all polished and like pretty-ish.
I feel like this is like a good in between.
Yeah, it's a good in between. Go ahead, Maria.
Honestly, it felt really different to me. Like, it definitely feels more of like a standalone than anything. I couldn't really get over like the voice.
Oh my god, the voice was taking me out.
It sounded like AI. It sounded like a bad AI.
It did. It sounded so bad. I was like, who? Like, no way.
And not scary. That.
Yeah, not scary.
Like, not menacing.
I do know they, like, toyed around with the idea of using Tobin Bell for the voice, like, the OG Billy the Puppet voice, Jigsaw. But then they were like, that'd be weird because he's been dead for, like, 12 years. So that didn't make any sense. So they decided against that, which I'm glad they did, but they could have, like, done anything, like, got any other person, like, any other voice. This voice was not menacing at all.
I was, like, the way I would have laughed just being in that room and hearing that voice for the first time, mm-hmm. and just the way it would have been so funny to me that now we're so scared of this voice and that small little puppet.
Yeah, like, it sounded, like, really bad, like, it sounded like they were trying to make it more, like, mysterious, like, modulated voice to be, like, kind of like a mix of, like, a male and a female voice at the same time to maybe, like, throw you off of who it could be. But it just sounded very, very childish. Not childish, but very, not, and it's not comical either, but it's just, like, not menacing. Like, I wouldn't be, like, scared of that.
And I think, I agree with you, Maria. This one does feel different. Because the Saw movies have always been there are usually like two parts that eventually converge. There's usually the cop plot, and then there's usually the game plot. But this was all cop plot with traps sprinkled in to further the mystery. There was no game being played. Well, I guess the cops were playing the game, but they were playing it. They were just investigating the murders. So it was mostly all like cop plot. That's like the main difference for me. If there wasn't a game being played simultaneously, it was the game is the investigation.
I feel like I was okay with that.
I mean, I was too. Like, I'm not complaining about that. Like, I actually enjoyed that ride, and I do want to say, like, when I watched it for the first time, I didn't see where they were going with the killer. It wasn't until we got to his quote unquote death when I was like, okay, so this guy's the killer. But when we get to the end and it's explained, like, why this is happening, honestly, this, like, for the first time ever, I agree with the Saw killer. Because, like, what's his name? Real. John Kramer was hypocritical and was pissing me off with his motivations for people. He was such a hypocrite. And then, you know, Amanda was just crazy. And Hoffman was fucking crazy. I don't know what Gordon's deal was. I think it was just the PTSD from being in Jigsaw's trap. But, like, I feel like if I had to, like, go based off, like, all of them and go based off their motivation, I feel like this motivation was more believable. But, Maria, this was your first time seeing this movie in general. What were your overall thoughts? And what do you want to share?
I mean, I agree. I also think that, like, you know, him going after, like, all those cops who were all super fucking corrupted was great. It made the most sense. And, I mean, I liked it. I liked the movie. I liked how, because it definitely felt like a spinoff compared to the Saw movies. Like, if you just watched this movie, I feel like you wouldn't really miss anything from the other movies. You know what I mean? Like, I think it definitely worked out. I liked how it wasn't so connected to John. But, I mean, maybe they didn't have to keep the voice, but they did not have to. Just the voice was just bad. Like, that voice was, it did not instill fear in me. It was definitely just dumb, I guess. I liked how it all just really connected. To be honest, though, I kind of knew it was the partner. Like, I definitely was, like, already kind of had a feeling it was him, to be honest. That's just me. And, I mean, overall, though, I really liked it. I liked the traps. I thought, I liked the traps. I liked how, you know, he still kind of got away with it. What I didn't like was some of, like, the shots, I guess. Like, some of the shots were kind of weird when, like, Chris or Zeke, I guess, is, like, having a moment where he's having a mental breakdown and they kind of show it to you. I thought it was kind of, like, dumb.
I know exactly what you mean. I don't like when movies do that. Like, they put, like, all those effects around their head and stuff to make it look like something's happening with them. And it looks very off.
It does. Like, it's like, I'm pretty sure. Because it's like, I mean, I already kind of think he's, like, you know, a good cop. Like, he had turned in his own partner, I think, for being corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, fuck all those cops. Like, that whole unit was just so fucking corrupt. You know, like, and that wasn't his fault. And I mean, because so I did really like the plot of it, to be honest. I liked how it was all connected. And we weren't, you know, jumping back and forth from the police and then the traps and then whoever the hell, the you know, the game of the person in the traps. I like how it was the, you know, the person that was in the game was the cop. So I feel like it kind of connected a lot easier. So yeah, I liked this movie.
Tuan, what about you? What are your overall thoughts on Spiral?
Yeah, I agree with what Maria said there. And I think why I liked this movie at the time when it released was because we had just got Jigsaw like a couple years before this one, and I was disappointed with Jigsaw, and I didn't really care for it. So getting this one, which is a little bit different, we were differentiating away from it going back to John Kramer at the time. Because one, he's been dead for so long, and you know, we can't dig up a corpse and reanimate him, at least in the, you know, the movie universe. So once we got to this one, and it was a whole different like narrative, but you know, it was still in that same like vein of universe, and kind of like the style kind of matched a bit. So I was fine with what I got when watching it. And I think why I did like it more was for like the reasonings of it just focusing on one plot and not forcing like a game of like a Saw like game for a set of extras that aren't even specific to the story. I think that's one reason why I did like it, and the game itself was involving the cops, and they were the players, but also the story was all focused on them, like Maria mentioned. So I did like that part about this movie, and as one of the main reasons why I definitely liked it a little more than Jigsaw, because Jigsaw, I felt the game in there, it was kind of like disconnected, and that's also how I felt about Saw 5. Like with the group game and that one felt like super disconnected from the actual plot that was happening at the time. So it didn't make much sense to me. Aside from that though, I did like the traps that they came up with in this one, and will agree with another agreement with Maria is that also kind of felt like I knew that the, that Zeke's partner was like the Jigsaw of this like particular game, just because we didn't see his death scene. You know, it feel like you know, as being like horror watchers, if we don't see them die,
that's what I was saying. Like up until that point, I didn't know he was the killer. But then when we got to that point, I was like, so we saw everybody else die but him.
Exactly. Like we already know, like the horror movie brain, that if someone doesn't die on camera, they're most likely a red herring for like to be like the killer or whatever, or they are. So that was once that happened, I was like, okay, well, I know where we're kind of going with this, but we didn't know the reasoning, which, you know, Saw always makes up for, kind of like with Scream, you know, they make up for it at the end with either the monologue or like the twist of why X, Y, and Z happened. And like you said, Mark, I agree, like, fuck them cops. I mean, I was on his side too once he gave his piece at the end, and when he actually got away too, I was like, you know what? I'm here for it. Now, tough shit to Zeke, because he was trying to do his best, like, as a cop, being on a corrupted, like, force. But, I mean, I don't feel bad for them and what happened and all that. One thing, though, that I did pick up on was what happened to the one black cop. Because he was, like, in there for a while, and he just, like, disappeared. It was the, not Zeke, but it was, like, the guy, I think he was, like, the technician.
We were going to save that for interesting facts, but he was supposed to be killed. They actually filmed a trap scene for him, but due to the MPAA... forcing them to cut it down so much, by the time they got the approval, it was like there was nothing really worth showing. So they just got rid
of it. Did they ever release it?
No, nope.
Damn. But damn, MPAA, I wonder what happened.
Yeah, the MPAA ruined that, so.
Damn, I kind of wonder what happened if they had to cut the whole trap.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was, so.
Well, shit.
But I did see stuff online that, like, the MPAA was harsher on this one because they thought that this one would be more mainstream given the fact that it was Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson and even the main actress. I forgot her name.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. I hope in the future they release that. But yeah, I would think that's pretty much most of my thoughts. And aside from this one thing, Chris Rock, you know, he was fine, but the random, like, obviously we knew we were going to expect, like, some comedy with it being Chris Rock in here, but the jokes were not hitting. And the jokes
that were hitting. Another little tidbit that actually that's not listed on the behind-the-scenes info. The writers didn't write any of the comedic scenes or lines. Chris Rock told them to just write the script, and then after they were done and they got the final version, he would then go in and write in the comedic lines and scenes.
That's even worse.
So that entire opening with him when we first meet Zeke, that's all Chris Rock. He wrote that entire scene.
He wanted to be on some Quentin Tarantino stuff so bad with that opening. Like, yes. It was given, like, Reservoir Dogs.
It was an homage to Quentin Tarantino due to...
Get the fuck out, it was!
Because Samuel L. Jackson was in Pulp Fiction.
Funny as hell. That's funny as hell.
You're on the money. You're on the money. So you're like right there.
That is funny as hell. Okay. So he was channeling Tarantino energy then. But yeah, it wasn't hidden for him. But
well, yeah. Go ahead. Well, unlike some of the previous Saw films, we actually got a lot more diverse traps. Is that good to say? There's more diverse traps, you know.
I would say so.
Yes, because I think we got like that original seven, like they had like the greatest hits that just kept repeating. Like we saw the fucking Venus flytrap all the fucking time, even though it wasn't really used. Like they were just like some of the traps felt like a rehash of shit we had already seen in the previous movie. So these all felt like these are all new and different, and they were all mostly set up for, like, the person to survive if they actually did the thing that they were supposed to do the right way. Like, when you think about it, they all could have survived. Would they have been maimed? Yes. Would they have been alive?
I do have a question on one, though.
Which one?
Okay, how was the captain, Garza?
She was fucked either way, because there was no way.
Okay.
Severing your spinal cord, you could be paralyzed. But that is very, very tricky, because severing your spinal cord can also kill you. And there was no way she could have done that with just paralyzing herself. There was no way.
Okay, because I was like, there's no way, even if she did do that, that she's going to get out of it.
Honestly, I don't think her or, like, also, like, his dad, I don't think he was kind of, like, I guess, like, they were just never supposed to survive, you know? Like, and Peter, too, or Pete, whatever his name was.
Yeah, with the glass.
Yeah, like, because the glass hit him, like, what, 2-3 times, and he was dead. Gone. And with the captain, I mean, it was definitely a loyalty test for Zeke. But, like, even after, you know, he would have, even after Zeke had, you know, shot the target, his dad wouldn't have died from blood loss, but he still would have died from getting shot by the SWAT team. And yeah, and the girl, the captain, yeah, she was never gonna survive that. There was just no way. Which, I mean, it kind of makes sense, you know?
I think those two in particular were designed so they wouldn't survive.
Yeah, it kind of felt like it.
Yeah, he said it himself. Like, they were, like, literally the head of everything. Like, the father did that whole Section 8 thing, which ended up killing, you know, his dad. And then the captain, I mean, it's her unit, and her unit is corrupt as fuck. And she knew it, and she didn't do anything about it. So, you know, so even though, I mean, she might have seemed like a good person, you know, her and the unit chief, I'm assuming his title was, but like, you know, because they both defended Zeke, but it's also like they also let this shit happen.
Yeah. Wait, do we think the guy with the tongue trap, could he have survived that?
I mean, if he would have fell in time, but see, then again, like, if he would have fell a certain way, would it have like let him fall on the side of the track, or would he been like right under the train, but like in a way where it wouldn't have ran him over when he was on?
Can you survive your tongue being ripped out like that?
He would have been bleeding profusely, so I don't think so. Like, unless someone found it, like, unless Shanks had planned on like going over there and cauterizing that wound, I don't think he would have died for blood loss.
I ain't gonna lie, Shake, he must have been digging in, like, the Kramer, like, engineering books or something, because he came up with some good traps, I ain't gonna lie.
I think my favorite one has to be the one with the fingertips.
That was crazy.
That was insane. It's one of those traps where I'm just like, could I have done that?
And I don't think I could.
What about you, Maria?
No, I feel like there's definitely a difference between cutting my finger off versus ripping my finger off. And I don't even think the machine was going fast. That shit was going slow.
Yes, it was it was going hella slow.
So no, I definitely would have felt all of that. Yeah.
The simplest trap was the one with Pete. That was so simple, but so effective. Right? Because, like, literally, like, the bottles are just, like, getting crushed and then spitting out. And I was like, this is so simple, but, like, so fucking deadly.
They were really effective in this one with the way they went about them. Which is, to think if this didn't star like Chris Rock or something, how more gory they could have been.
Right? Because there's a whole trap cut out. But I want to ask you too, from this movie, I want you to give me one each. Give me one trap that you liked the most and one trap that you just didn't think was necessary. Maria, you up first. Your favorite trap or least favorite trap?
I guess my favorite trap was the one with the fingers. Because, I mean, it's definitely a very, very brutal trap. But I also feel like he would have made it, you know, if he would have done it fast enough. He definitely would have made it. My least favorite would have to be, I guess it'd be the captain's trap, the girl, because I feel like, because, I mean, you're right, like, that trap is a little bit, like, unrealistic, I feel, you know, like, she would never have survived that, which I guess was the point, but, you know, that's not... Supposedly, it's not part of John Kramer's philosophy, you know, of why he's doing these traps in the first place. But, yeah, that one's my least favorite.
Tuan, what about you?
There's some good ones in this one. I think that the one with the captain is my favorite because she basically got waterboarded with fucking hot wax, which is crazy. And just the simple fact to give you the option of either you're going to get your fucking face burned off or sever your spinal cord, like, those are two insane options of each other. And obviously one of them, like we already talked about, you can't really even do. Well, you could do it, but not like it's going to give you any more chances of survival than not doing it and just getting your face burned off and waterboarded, basically suffocated with hot wax. So that was a pretty crazy trap. Now, least favorite, I would probably say the one with Zeke's dad, Marcus, because the amount of blood loss, he should have already been dead, in my opinion. He had a lot of blood in those containers. Like, it was a lot of blood in those jars that he was connected to when Zeke was in the room and we saw what was going on there. So I kind of felt like he should have already been dead. But as in to say, it wasn't a good trap. Honestly, don't think any of the traps in this movie were bad to me. I pretty much kind of liked all of them, but going in order of most to least, I probably would put that one, people called it the puppet trap. I would probably put that one at the end.
Yeah, for me, my favorite is, I think for me, my favorite is the bottle trap because it's so simplistic, but it's so effective. Like, glass shards are fucking dangerous and deadly, and literally the bottles on the conveyor belt getting broken, spinning at him at fast speeds, and he's being killed by not big shards. These are medium shards that are just ripping him to shreds. So that's it's simple and simplistic, and that's, I don't know, I like that. The one if I have to pick a bad one, well, yeah, like you said, there's not really any ones that are bad. There are just ones that just I guess I wanted to, I could have seen more. I feel like the finger pulling trap, I feel like that, okay, my issue with the traps is that they were all too quick. I think I'm used to the Saw movies where John Kramer and Apprentice, John Kramer and Co. would drag it out. He would give them time. But literally 2 minutes for the tongue guy. Barely any time with the fucking guy with the fingertips, because you spent most of that time first he was knocked out while the water was running. And then you were playing the fucking video while the water was running. At least John Kramer and Co. would have they wouldn't have started the water running until after everything was fucking explained. You got the water running while you talking. Shut the fuck up. Stop the video and let me pull my fingers off.
Yeah, he definitely would have survived if he had a little more time. Because he was committed at that point.
And he only stopped to scream in pain. Scream out in agony. And that little second is what cost him his life. So I think my issue isn't the traps themselves. It's the how long they were, and then the longest trap was the one with Zeke's dad because that was the climax.
True,
but that could have actually been shorter. But that's just my opinion. But let's switch to, let's go to the characters. Let's start with Boz. Should we talk about Boz? What did Boz do?
He was the opening kill.
Yeah, but is there anything we need to talk about?
He was kind of not really. He didn't really come back up, I believe. I think he shot and killed someone unarmed, if I recall.
No, that was Pete. Boz was lying on the stand. We're going to skip Boz.
Yeah, that, you're right.
All right, we're going to... Okay, let's move on to the characters, and let's start with pretty much the character that started it all. Let's start with Pete. Literally, Pete's one stupid, corrupt decision is what kicked off this entire movie. So, Maria, what are your thoughts on Pete?
Pete was kind of a dick, like, throughout the whole thing, to be honest. I mean, they were all kind of dicks. All the cops were dicks. But Pete, I mean, you know, I mean, he did kill that guy, like, the dad of the, Shanks, but it was under, you know, the captain's orders, under, like, Zeke's father's orders. But he was an asshole, you know? It's like, I feel like, because I think even when Zeke met up with him, you know, after all those years and stuff, he was still, like, taking jabs at Zeke. And he was still, just did not seem to feel bad at all about what happened. Like, he was just kind of like, well, they told me to do it, so I did it. It's like, you killed people. For what? But, he was a dick. Did not like him.
Yeah, he, and that scene with him at the church was just like, you're here leading an AA meeting and talking about this, but like, you murdered someone. Like, and you're still mad at your partner and calling him out for betraying you when you killed someone unarmed? And you've been sober for 18 months with them 12 steps and working, because asking for forgiveness is one of them, and I don't think you did any of that. So, what about you, Twan? What are your thoughts on Pete?
Yeah, it's very like hypocritical, but also not all too different from, you know, how the police is IRL, because, you know, they do you know, work like that. They'll do something, you know, horrendous on their part, or that anyone outside of the police force would consider to be bad, but because someone in the force, you know, turned, or not even turned, but, you know, out, like, put that information out there for something that was actually bad, they'll hold, like, malice against them, even though, you know, they were the ones who did whatever act was done. You're looked more down upon for being, like, truthful to, like, a situation than backing and staying with, like, the force or what they say is, like, you know, valid. So, honestly, that's not even, like, too far-fetched to, like, think of how a former officer would react to getting caught up in a situation like that. So, not even, like, surprised, but as far as, like, Pete's character himself, I mean, I didn't really see, like, any, like, redemption. It seems like, you know, kind of like one of those false, like, redemptions a person kind of has within themselves, to make them feel like they did good. You know, they're working at the church, they're going, you know, in charge of, like, you know, these meetings and stuff like that, but if you were to tell, like, people the truth of what actually happened and not, you know, just that specific part of what happened to you, it wouldn't, like, you wouldn't be looked upon the same way. So, he definitely kind of deserved what he got in his trap. I mean, I didn't feel, like, bad for him when, he had fucking glass shards flying through him. So, yeah, I think Pete deserved what he got at the end.
Well, what about Captain Garza, Angie? What are your thoughts on her?
See, I think my thing with Angie is she is kind of one of those people who they've been in their position, not their position, but they've been in this kind of job or like field for so long that they just let so much stuff slide. and they become accustomed to it, and also like a person who has done a bunch of this stuff and supported others in doing the same things as well, that they can't really be redeemed at this point in time. Like, it's you could tell that she has a like affinity for Zeke because his dad was Marcus, and she, you know, kind of wants to help him out, but also doesn't, because she doesn't want like the Force to kind of turn on her. So it's like a it's kind of like that middle ground type of person, but they're always going to side with the opposite and not with you. And that's kind of what I got with her character. And I didn't really feel that she actually wanted to put things right or the way that they were. She just kind of wanted to lure Zeke from doing whatever he wanted to do and kind of just putting him off on the back burner so that things could, you know, continue as they were.
Maria, what are your thoughts on Detective, well, Captain Banks? Marcus Banks? Zeke's dad?
I thought he did. They called him something. I don't know if he had a title anymore. Well,
was that out of respect, or was he? Was that either way? What do you think about?
Honestly, I feel like
Zeke's dad.
His acting compared to everybody else's acting was just like so different. You know what I mean? Like every time he was on screen, I feel like it gave a different tone to the movie than when everybody else was on. I don't know. It was kind of weird. I mean, I love, you know, Samuel L. Jackson. Like, huh?
That's just Samuel.
I know, but it just didn't flow. Like, it just, nobody was working off of each other. It was just like, it's like they made specific scenes for him and then just said, you know, fuck everything else, you know? Kind of like Chris Rock and his little weird scenes too. I don't know, some of it just didn't make sense to me. I loved his scenes though. I just feel like it didn't fit the movie. And I guess I liked how Shanks left him last. You know, because a lot of this did technically start because of him, and he did, you know, I mean, they were treating his son like shit, but it's like, it's his unit, you know, this is, you know, he's worked with a lot of these cops for like a really long time, and not saying, you know, he let it happen, but he kind of did let a lot of shit happen, and for what, like, for the sake of what, you know what I mean, like, because he was saying at the end, you know, he was like, the citizens just felt a lot safer, but it's like, was it worth it, you know? Was it worth having this whole unit of corrupt cops and you think the citizens feel safer? After innocent people died. But, I mean, he was okay, I guess. I mean, I like how you can tell he just really, like, you know, loved Zeke, and he really was trying to kind of help him out. But then it's like, it's kind of really your fault why things turned out the way they did. I don't know, I just feel like...
True.
I just feel like the writers just specifically wrote scenes for Samuel L. Jackson and not scenes for, you know, Chief Banks, Zeke's father. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just didn't really, like, it didn't really flow for me. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying there. It's kind of like the, and not to, like, shit on the directors, but I mean, it's probably the first time they got like some like long time like acting actors in here, like, you know, like big names like Samuel Jackson, like Chris Rock.
Since we brought that up, you want a little tidbit. His first day on set, he did, the director gave him a note how he wanted a scene to be played, and Samuel told him he wasn't going to do it that way. He was going to do it another way.
And that's so funny.
And the director froze, and then a few minutes later, Samuel was like, so you weren't going to tell me it had to be done the way you wanted to be done? Apparently, Samuel was testing him to make sure if like he was actually going to stand up for his vision. So, but then at a certain point, it became a collaborative effort because, you know, he's Samuel Jackson, and he scared that poor man.
That's so funny because honestly, that's what I was thinking. It's kind of like they never really had like nobody of that like caliber in like a Saw movie, like. So it kind of makes sense that, you know, they may not be, maybe not, like, familiar, but, you know, how to direct someone like that. So that's pretty interesting.
Oh, I thought you were going to keep going. I thought you were giving a point about Banks. No,
I was kind of just agreeing with Maria on the fact that like his acting did feel like kind of weird at points, like he wasn't in the same movie all the time, and also because of a lot of his scenes were separate, like there were just points in time where he was just like off doing his own thing, and then he would like either get a call from Zeke or call him or try to. I mean, he wasn't really acting off of anything, but we know Samuel Jackson can act, but yeah, it just didn't feel like the direction was there.
Yeah, his scenes were very marooned. It's like, it's either we just, well, they did have those, like, well, I guess all his scenes with the other cops were flashbacks, but like, in that's present true. Day, all his scenes were marooned.
Yeah, or like, or just with Zeke, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. So, but Twan, what are your thoughts on Zeke?
So I don't think Zeke's character was like inherently bad. We obviously can see like he's troubled with his current situation because one, he did the right thing in the past, but was looked down upon for it because he didn't have his brother's back, basically. Brothers being, you know, the police department and his partner who at the time, who was Pete. And because he like spoke out on that type of stuff, like people didn't show up for him. He got shot at, and you know, they just weren't looking out for him because he for them didn't look out for like the force and like what they quote unquote stood for at the time. So that is, you know, interesting little character struggle there because he's trying to do the right thing but doesn't have the support, and then everyone's kind of looking down on him as well. But he was very determined to get to like the end of it. He was kind of like Strom in a little bit, like the way he was like determined to like figure out what was happening here, because you remember like Strom back in like Saw's like 5, he was like super determined to figure out what was going on with Hoffman and how that was kind of all unfolding. So I kind of saw him in that type of sense, that he was just gonna do what he was gonna do regardless of the fact, but he wasn't trying to be on the timing of everyone else with the how they were planning on like leading out their situations and things like that. But he was a bit like, not, I won't say he was unstable as a person, but just a lot of, he just very emotional because there was a lot of stuff going on, which is, I mean, to be expected considering the situations that some of the people that he knew had to be put through, as far as like the games and stuff, and him finding Garza and her trap, and then eventually like seeing his dad and his. So I would say I liked Zeke's character, and I think that I probably would have wanted to see more if they maybe would have went forward with it. Now, I don't know what they could have done, but I don't think I would have mind seeing a bit more of the character here.
Maria, what are your thoughts on Z?
Well, I'm going to be honest, but I actually liked Chris Rock doing his thing. Like, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I didn't like the little weird scenes they put him in, but I liked how, I don't know, he just kind of fit it. Like, I guess he did enough where, like, there was enough scenes for him that kind of had the movie flowing. Unlike, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, where, like, his scenes just seemed very, like, different compared to the rest of the movie. I feel like, you know, Chris Rock fit his role. I guess he fit his role more than I thought he was going to, is really more what I want to say. But I just feel like, I guess, like, Zeke as a person, I don't know. It was just, I just, like, I get, you know, he was the snitch. He was a cop that, you know, snitched on his buddy or whatever. And, you know, I feel like, especially nowadays, people have a lot of different opinions about that. But I just feel like he also never really stood up for himself, you know? Like, he did what he did. And then just kept expecting people to, like, stand up for him, if that makes any sense. Like, there were a lot of scenes where, like, the fucking cops were, like, going in on him and saying shit. Like, I guess, that one scene where he was taking point on the investigation and he was telling people what he needed. And nobody was fucking listening. And that's when Angie was, like, you know, had to step in and be like, guys, listen. But I feel like that happens a lot throughout the movie. I also just kind of feel like he, I mean, I don't, honestly, I don't, I get why Shanks thought he would be a good Jigsaw. But, like, I don't know, they just made him so pure, I guess is the only word I can really think of. Like, he, you know, I mean, he definitely snitched for, like, you know, for justice, but I also don't see him as the type to, like, you know, take revenge is really what, you know, what John and Shanks and Logan and everybody was, you know, was doing with these games, was taking revenge. But I feel like, you know, Zeke would never. He's definitely seems like the type to be like, you know, they happened and, you know, things are going to be different and you just got to move on through life. And, you know, because even though, you know, nobody in the precinct liked him, he still did his job. Like, he was still going into work. He was still doing his thing. They were bullying him, you know, with those weird fucking pranks they were doing. And he was still just doing his job, like nothing, you know? Like, I don't think he really held, you know, like these cops were being killed, but he was still actively like, we have to find this guy who's killing people. So I definitely don't think he would have ever, I don't think he would have made a good Jigsaw. I don't think he has that in him. And yeah, I mean, he was definitely, I feel like, smarter than the other cops that, you know, were kind of in the center of everything. I feel like he figured out shit pretty quickly. Like they gave him those riddles and he figured them out. And I feel like that was kind of rare in these movies. I feel like, you know, the cops would get a riddle and they would be like, what does that mean? And it's like the simplest riddle. So, and, you know, and he even saved Pete, you know, like, I mean, Pete had died already, but, you know, he still went in to save him. And I feel like that really shows, like, his character, you know, and the type of person that he really is. But yeah, that's it.
Well, what are your thoughts on this movie's Jigsaw, William Shanks?
He was hot. In his another, you know, like.
I'll agree.
Like, I thought Logan was hot. Like, look, he was fine. But Shanks was also fine. But, like, honestly. And I did like the games. I definitely feel like these were actual winnable games. Except for, you know, the captain and the chief. But, and I like how, you know, they go back and they, like, talk about. No. I mean, like, they give you flashbacks of, you know, like, once you find out he's Jigsaw. And it gives you, like, flashbacks. And then he literally basically tells, you know, fucking Zeke, like, giving him fucking hints. Which I thought was so funny. Yeah, I feel like his games were definitely winnable. It's definitely, he's definitely been thinking about this for a super long time, you know, seeing his dad die when he was so young. And I guess I liked that he, you know, didn't see Zeke as, like, you know, a coward or as, like, you know, like, not, like, you know, blame Zeke, if you know what I mean. I feel like that could have gone left so fast. He could have been like, you know, you could have done something or whatever. But I liked how he idolized Zeke for speaking up and for basically also saving him, you know? And yeah, I mean, honestly, I kind of knew, like, halfway through the movie that it was him. Especially, and I'm like, okay, I remember in the beginning when they first introduced him, and I was like, it'd be so funny if it was the new cop. And then as the movie progressed, I was like, I feel like it's really him. And then, yeah, and then, like, they showed us the scene where, you know, they supposedly find him, and they're like, you know, well, you know, being, like, horror movie buffs, it's like, you know, when they don't show someone's face, there's most likely a reason why. And they also, you know, and I feel like, you know, if this Jigsaw was so hell-bent on teaching the Force a lesson, and this guy literally just started being on the Force, you know, it just seemed, like, out of character. And especially because, you know, Jigsaw wasn't exactly being hostile towards Zeke, generally. So I was like, it probably is the partner, the rookie. And it was. So, you know, I don't think, I don't know, I feel like I would have figured this out if I was the cop. If I was a cop, I would have been like, guys, the new guy, there's something off about the new guy. I feel like I could have solved it. but he was smart. He was super smart with all the things he did. And I did like how some of the traps were very, they were very, very simple, but they were very effective as well. So yeah, I liked Shanks as Jigsaw.
Well, I'm gonna just say really quick, I agree with both you. One to one, he was very hot. And I like that this is the first time in a Saw movie where I actually understand and have sympathy for the Jigsaw and the motivations. He literally saw a dirty cop murder his father. Like, and he figured out that it was due to, like, it wasn't just that cop being dirty, it was system-wide. So, like, I understand. Like, I get it. And I do love that he had such a, like, admiration and respect for Zeke, because Zeke is, like, Zeke kept him alive. Because I'm pretty sure if that cop knew that the kid had saw what happened, that kid would end up dead too. So, yeah, I think the one time I'm on the Jigsaw side. Even though they didn't call him Jigsaw, they didn't even give him a name. Just a copycat killer. But what are your thoughts on William Schenck, a.k.a. the copycat Jigsaw, Tuan?
Yeah, I also agree with you that he did what he had to do for this, because the situation that he was put in because of the cops, and like actually like seeing that himself, could see why a person would want revenge against the whole like system at that point. And I don't really have a problem with it, honestly. It's kind of like one of those situations where once you get to the end, you see like the reasoning why it all makes sense at that point. And it's like, why would, like, I don't see who wouldn't, well, okay, I'm not gonna see, I don't see who wouldn't agree. I'm sure there are some people who would disagree just because of the fact that, you know, you're killing people. But due to being like corrupt police force, all this stuff getting covered up, then you have a cop who really isn't corrupt and got turned on because he put someone, because he put someone on his side up, and that being Zeke. So it makes sense why Schenck would have like an affinity for Zeke, and you know, would think he would kind of be on his side of things there. But at the end of the day, he's still a cop regardless of the situation, so he wouldn't have like went along with his plan, especially with his dad being involved too. Like, even though he hates the corruption and all that stuff, he still loves his dad, so he wouldn't have went with it like either way. And I think as far as like motive and all that stuff goes, I think Schenck had like a great motive for it, and that's more than I can say for Kramer in his time. So as far as, you know, Jigsaw reasoning, I think Schenck was pretty good here in, you know, what he came up with as far as the as far as like why he decided to do this. So I'm on his side. I'm a ride with Schenck.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad, I probably cut off. Okay. Well, you're riding with Schenck, so we're gonna ride right over to the behind the scenes info and facts. Tuan, can you please?
Will do. So, I almost said Saw 10. Spyro had a budget of $20 million, and it brought in a box office of $40.6 million. Some interesting facts. Chris Rock is a fan of the franchise and actually pitched the idea to Lionsgate. The vice chairman of Lionsgate, Michael Burns. I read that wrong. Let me read that over. Chris Rock was actually a fan of the franchise and pitched the idea to Lionsgate vice chairman Michael Burns. Rock claimed that the two of them bumped into each other at a wedding in Brazil, and Rock was very interested in starring in films that extended the franchise with the new Jigsaw Killer. As a result, they made him one of the lead actors, a co-writer, and executive producer on the film. There is no mention, though, of Dr. Gordon, Mark Hoffman, or Logan Nelson, the main character from the previous Saw films. Dr. Gordon was alive at the end of Saw 3D, released in 2010, where he locked up Hoffman with no chance to escape, while Logan was alive at the end of Jigsaw, released in 2017. Their fates remain undisclosed in this film. Darren Lynn Bousman did reveal, as we mentioned earlier, that Detective Drury originally had a bigger role in a horrific death scene, but they cut it out for being too much for the MPAA. Throughout the Saw franchise, the Jigsaw Killer was the original Jigsaw, John Kramer, or an apprentice, but this is the first Jigsaw Killer to not be an apprentice of the original Jigsaw. And in order to secure R rating, the film had to be submitted to the MPAA 11 times. All other attempts resulted in a rating of NC-17. Some critics' reactions. The film currently sits at a 37% on Rotten Tomatoes. Variety wrote that the film takes an unexpected twist or two, but considering that it's a thriller pegged to the issue of police immortality, the film confronts that theme in a weirdly, untopical, almost garishly generic way. The Guardian gave the film 1 star out of 5 and criticized its ending, writing that he felt it was rushed and half-assed. RogerEbert.com praised the cast but gave the film a negative marks for its tone and Darren Lynn Bousman's direction, calling it downright ineligible for its lack of tension, story, and progression in the plot. Lastly, the New York Times praised the opening scene but found it to be the only good part of the film.
Enough about them. What about us? Tuan, Maria, do we cash or pass Spiral from the Book of Saw? Maria?
Not that I didn't like the movie, but I definitely don't see myself watching this ever again. I did like it. There were some parts that I really did like, but I just, I don't know. I guess didn't catch my attention that much. If I was doing a marathon, I would definitely watch it just kind of because, but that's about it. And even then I probably won't do that. So I will pass on this movie. If it was a standalone, I feel like I would have cashed, you know? But the fact that it's part of a series, and even then, it just felt too different to the series. So I'm going to pass.
And I actually agree with you. This is my second time seeing this movie. I saw it when it first dropped on, I believe it was HBO Max or Prime. It dropped somewhere during the pandemic and shutdown and stuff. And I, being on opposite of Tuan, I remember not liking this movie when I first saw it. But then on this rewatch, I was like, oh wait, this movie's actually not that bad. And like you said, Maria, as an individual movie, a standalone, it would be a cash. I would be complaining that it was like a Saw wannabe, but it's still pretty fucking good. But as the 9th entry to an established franchise, it's a pass. I mean, I hadn't seen it since 2021, and if you weren't doing the Saw retrospective, I wouldn't have seen it this time. Did I enjoy it? Yes. Is it a good Saw movie? No. It's better than Jigsaw, but that's not much. So it's a pass for me. What about you, Tuan?
Yeah, so I will agree with the both of you on the fact that due to it, you know, being connected to the Saw series, it is a bit, weird to kind of rank it. But I do feel as if it's disconnected enough that it can kind of be rated as its own thing, at least in my opinion, because it doesn't really, besides bringing up Kramer's name in, the actual, name or, Jigsaw in general, it doesn't have really much other connection to it. And I preferred this more than Jigsaw, which, like Mark mentioned, isn't much. But I didn't think that Jigsaw was really necessary. Not even saying that this was either. But I would have preferred this over what we got with Jigsaw, and how they were at least planning to take the series at the time before Saw X got greenlit. So I think taking into account all of that, and me liking the traps in this movie and a good portion of the story, I personally would cash this movie. Now, I don't think I see myself coming back to give it a watch anytime soon. Mark, I probably wouldn't have watched this or been up on it any time recently, unless it was doing a rewatch of the series. But I do like the movie, and I guess this might be the first one where I remembered liking it, and I still do like it, so...
And actually, I want to... Sorry, say something else about it, but, like, that review was right. Like, we saw Hoffman being fucking locked in, and then you figure out that Gordon was helping this whole time, and then they just both disappear. And then they never come back to it. That is a little frustrating, actually. I just wanted to point that out.
Well, yes, I agree. I feel like we need to know. I need to see like some ultimate Saw movie with, you know, Gordon, Hoffman, and Logan. Like, I need to see the three of them battle it out, like Freddy versus Jason.
I was about to say not Freddy versus Jason.
That's what I need to see. We've come to the end. Next week, we are going to be reviewing Saw X. Now, I haven't seen it yet. I've been waiting.
I'm excited.
Fresh in my mind. Tawan's already seen it. Maria, have you seen it?
No, not yet.
So, I will be seeing it for the first time within the next couple of days or so. Maria will see it by the time of review. We get gathered for their review. So, I'm excited. I feel like we ran through these movies fast. I felt like it took us longer to review the Insidious movies, and it was only like 5 of them. But thank you guys so much
for listening. That's true.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Good night.